Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this hour, hour number two of the Hagman and Hagman Report on this very special Monday edition, Monday, January 18th, 2016. Our very special guest, Mr. Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, Ross Powell, survival401k.com. Folks, bookmark, visit both sites. Mr. Powell is an expert economist. That's my description of him, okay? To me, he's an expert economist. He's framing the economy, the state of the economy, not pulling any punches. And so is Steve Quayle, putting in the larger sense and putting in against the backdrop of the larger picture here, the Luciferian globalist elite. And you know what? They're coming after not just your money, not just your birthright, but your soul. And you got to understand the bigger picture. Folks, before we get back to them, I want to mention that portions of the nice broadcast brought to you by nuts.com, NUTS.com. Folks, please visit nuts.com to take a look at what they have. You will not believe the taste, the freshness, of all of their nuts, their snacks, their dry fruits, their cooking, baking ingredients, everything you could possibly want, the sweet treats, the coffees and teas. They've got over 39 varieties of coffees and 170 flavors. Folks, if you go to nuts.com right now and enter in the microphone box HH. That's nuts.com. Enter in the microphone box HH. New customers will receive with their order four samples free. Four free samples. You can choose from over 50 options. That's a $15 value. When you go to nuts.com, click on the mic and enter our code HH. Now getting back to our guest tonight. Again, Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com and Mr. Ross Powell from survival401k.com. Steve, you want to pop it over to Ross, or you want to?
Sure, I'm going to park it in Ross's parking lot right now, because I think that with all his experience, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I've known Ross for over a decade. We started communicating that many years ago when he worked for one of the major banks, and he would always be spot on with his emails to me telling me what's going on behind the scenes. So he has a lot of connections, and that's what is important. This isn't him reading somebody else's newsletter. He will refer to it. But like I said, I've known him for a long time. Let's talk right now, if you don't mind. Let's talk about the stock market and why people focus on that. You know, they think the Dow is up, and there's nothing in the shelves in the store, Ross. There's nothing being trucked. They start to notice shortages and everything. Explain, if you will, how the stock market is manipulated and the volatility is screaming at people, okay?
Sure. But before I get started, I just want to tell Doug, I've used nuts.com and I bought stuff from them, and they do a great job. So I just want to plug them too, because they do great. They have great products. So I just want to make sure I say that.
Thanks for that. So, folks, you heard it. You heard it right from the economist himself, nuts.com. Okay, sir, go ahead.
So I wanted to talk about the stock market, and it's just one facet of things you look at. We talked about the tapestry at the beginning of the show, and the stock market, which is manipulated and artificially inflated, and our government does the same thing that the Chinese do. They pour money into it to prop it up, because, again, there's a certain amount of confidence. If the market collapses, then people don't buy goods in the stores, and they retail clubs. So it's a vicious cycle, and it will just spin out of control. But let's talk a little bit about GDP in the United States, because we mentioned China's gone announcing theirs tomorrow, and that being at, whether it's 6.7 or 3, we'll find out where it goes, and I think the market's going to follow suit with that. If the Chinese GDP comes out and it's really strong, I think you'll see a bounce in the market, but then the fervor will go away and it'll back down again. But if you think about the numbers, so in 2015, these haven't come out from our government yet, the official GDP, and it always gets, after the news cycle goes by, they always lower it to a new estimate or actual numbers. They'll revise it. You'll always see it always gets revised downward. But in the third quarter of 2015, going into the fourth quarter, J.P. Morgan Chase, who's one of the top ones, and I used to work for them, they're really smart guys. I mean, I have to tip their CEO is a smart guy. They said that the estimated Q4 2015, which is from October through December, they were looking at a GDP annualized at 2%. Then they revised it down to 1%, and then towards the end of the year, they said 0.1% okay, that's dead in the water. I mean, if you have to get 2% even to keep people working. So they revised it down to 1.1% is what they're estimating what it would be. So that shows you where retail is. That's why Walmart is closing stores. That's why McDonald's is closing stores. Sears is going to have a huge closure. They're going to be belly up in no time. So they're shuttering doors. All these retailers are shuttering their doors. Number one, they're getting beaten by the online folks because people just don't want to go out and fight the traffic and fight the crowds. They'd rather just order it, and the more efficient Amazon gets, and when you can get something from Amazon within 1 hour in your town, what's the point of going to the store and fighting and getting dressed and when you can order something in your pajamas and have it delivered to your house within 1 hour? So our GDP is for no better word, is in the tank. And so you'll see the numbers revised down, and people that are not working, and it correlates back to the 9.9U6 number of unemployment, and you're starting to see layoffs in big banks. You're seeing layoffs in some startups, some big major people that are startups that are suddenly laying folks off that were supposed to be the bee's knees of technology. And what's causing a lot of that is that venture capitals, I tend to call them, I've learned my own lesson on that, the vulture capitals, is where they're expecting a return on their money, not waiting years upon years saying profits coming, and their money sits there in the negative growth mode. Whereas before you had Facebook and Twitter and all these companies that were negative, and now they're starting to grow, you have all these other startups, and people were patient with those startups, and there's a lot of other smaller ones that are coming that are pretty revolutionary technology-wise. Doesn't build community, doesn't help your neighbor, doesn't us, but it just makes you life as a supreme narcissist, makes you more important to others. But at the end of the day, these people that make money by loaning money, saying, I want to see some action now. And so you're seeing some major players. I meant to write down a couple of them, but I forgot to do that before the show. But some major players that have, and you look it up online, are major players are laying off folks that they never thought they would, because they thought they'd just keep growing and growing and have the growth curve of Microsoft or Facebook or Twitter. And I think Twitter's laying off folks. So you have people leaving these jobs, not on their own free will, but because these vulture capital guys want their return on their investment. And I can't blame them. I don't want to give my money to somebody that's going to take it and use it and not get me anything in return. They're there to make money. So that's the American way. So that's happening. So that tells you, that ties into the folks that have a lot of money are requiring action and requiring results. That tells you that they're not getting results. So they wouldn't be doing this if things were all peaches and cream. They're thinking that something, they have to squeeze the orange a little tighter to get more juice out of them. So that's just another one of the threads in the tapestry. Now you look at the stock market, and people look at it, well, this market here, the market there, and it goes down three straight days, and it bounces up for 200 points, and then it comes back down again, and then the next finishes up maybe 100 points, and then the next day you'll see, I think it was Friday or Thursday, that the futures, I look at it like 3 o'clock in the morning, the futures are at down 500. The market opens up down 400, then it comes back up again. Then it's back down 500, and then this was Friday, so it ends the day at 390 down. So I expect we'll get a dead cat bounce tomorrow of some kind, depending on what's going to happen, probably early in the morning when they find out the Chinese numbers, and you'll see and if you look at the markets, you can go to a litany of different sites, CNBC, Yahoo Finance, Bloomberg, a litany of folks, where you can actually see the futures market starting at around 10 to midnight. Then you'll see it through the morning until about 8 o'clock Central Time. And you'll watch those numbers that people are saying, I'm going to sell, I'm going to get out, or I'm going to buy. And so that affects your futures numbers. And so once that announcement by the Chinese comes about, you're going to see either a spike or direct falling like a stone, because everybody's got their expectations. And the stock market is all about expectations. It's not about reality. It's all about perception and expectations. So something I learned at the banks, you have to manage perceptions. You have to make people believe what you're saying. You have to make sure that they understand what you're trying to tell them and the way you're framing it up. And regardless of what the facts are, you have to set the perception that you're on the right side of it. So you're going to look at this and say, okay, well, the market's going to go up. And so we've lost, 12% since the beginning of the – maybe 10 to 12% since the beginning of the year. Worst start ever since the stock market numbers were tabulated. They've never had a first week like that ever. Even in 2008 and 2009, it wasn't that bad of a first week. Can you imagine that? So think about how bad 2008 and 9 were, and look at where we are today. So 7 years later, which we're right at the end of that 7-year recession cycle, you're looking at 8 years if you count 2008 capitulation. So you look at that and say, okay, here we go. We're at that cycle where you can have a recession every 7 to 8 years, and there's that same O-scope or that same sine wave, that up and down. We're right on that edge, and so we're right there. But the difference between 2008 and today, and Joe, you mentioned it before the break, in 2008, in the midst of the complete catastrophe of the mortgage business, and I was in the thick of it then, that's, Steve, you and I traded a lot of emails during that period, where people were found smoking guns inside of banks, where they actually packaged deals that were really bad, and that's why one of the banks is no longer with us. But you look at that number, and the dry index was over 11,000. The Baltimore dry index was over 11,000 in the midst of all of that catastrophe, because trade kept still going, and there was things between countries. Now we're in the same situation with oil and a few other things, but the Baltic Dry Index is at 369. So that, between that and the market's volatility, I mean, I can remember not, and this was long as I don't remember a time or period where, other than 2008, where I just watched it go from down 400 points, down 500 points, down 600 points, until we got to 6,000 or so, where they finally bottomed out. Now we're seeing something so volatile that 1 minute you're thinking the market's up 200 points, you look back 2 hours later, and now we're down 100 points. So the sheep run to and fro across the spectrum, and you just don't know where you're going to land. And it drives people out of their minds. People that call me to say, what can I do with my money? How do I get out of this volatility? I feel like I'm in the casino. I'd rather go flush this 20 down the toilet than put it in the market, because I know where it's going to end up regardless. So that's the kind of thing where it just, I think the perception, and then people just tired of it, and you'll hear the same talking head saying, just, it's play it out for the long term, it always will recover. Well, what if you took your money out before it had bottomed out, and then you put it back in after it recovers? You're going to be in much better shape than if you ran it through. So the adage of our parents and our grandparents saying, just the stock market will be there, it always will be, and you can just ride it out, doesn't exist anymore, because the times are different. It's completely, and I don't know how to explain it in any clearer terms, this is not your grandfather's or your grandparents' market. It's completely different. It's completely leveraged. Your grandparents or your parents didn't have derivatives to the tune of $640 trillion, bordering on, some people say $1 trillion across the world. That could seize up all markets, and there's not enough money in the whole world, much less the galaxy, to fix this. So people need to understand that when you look at the market, you see it continue up and down, either you want to play that game or you want to get into something else that's going to be more predictable and life-sustaining and things like that, and we can talk about that during the question and answer hour if we want to.
Well, and Ross, here's the thing, too. You know, there are a lot of people listening in, and a time to move, if they're seeing the swings, we're seeing the swings in the stock market, people don't know where to go. So when someone gets a hold of you at survival401k, .com, okay, and they want to, will you explain simply, because I get emails about this all the time, explain the difference and why people can hold real estate, they can hold anything that's a tangible asset in their survival 401k, a self-directed 401k, and take possession of it. I have talked sometimes, you got to call Ross because, you know, he sets us up for a lot of my clients, which, ladies and gentlemen, he does. But people have got to understand that, oh, well, it's only a paper loss. No, every single financial asset can be put into two things. It can be put into a time value, the amount of time it took to build that value, and it can be put into calories, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you pay for what when it comes to food, okay? You're paying for calories. The whole global New World Order is designing all their policies to limit you to be basically one step away from Soylent Green. Soylent Green was a movie with Charlton Heston in which when people died, and they made sure people died, they ground them into food wafers to the people. I guess you'd call them cannibal cookies. So that, yeah. There you go, Sheila, and those of you guys out there keeping track, cannibal cookies. So the point is that we're seeing right now people bewildered. So, okay, walk a person through. They say, okay, Mr. Powell, I want to take X, whatever X is. Tell me what a self-directed IRA is and tell me, what I can put into it.
Sure. I mean, the average customer that calls me has between, I don't know, some days it's 60,000, other days it's 200,000, 300,000 of customers with 10 million that they move. It's as little as 10,000. But so essentially what they do is they're moving their stock market-based retirement, which is typical spread of equities and mutual funds and ETFs and some stocks and things like that, that's, again, stuck, is in Wall Street. And the thing most of them don't realize, once I finish them, they do, is that the people selling you those securities and all those things make money on you going in and going out. So regardless whether you make money, you could take a loss year after year, but your person handling it is going to make money on you, either on a fee or on a transaction fee or an annual fee. They make money regardless of what happens to you. They can say they care about you, and many of them do. I'm not going to disparage a whole litany of people. There are some good ones and there's some really bad ones, just like anything else. Whether it's cops or firemen or radio hosts or whoever, there are good and they're bad. But the ones that I met are making money off of you just by putting your money in, churning your account and putting it in this stock and then putting in that one and reading their tea leaves and putting it over here. I mean, I've dealt with a couple here, especially in San Antonio, that are as like-minded as me and move their customers into things that are going to be safe and they're actually going to make money. They think the dollar's going to go down, they short the dollar. If they think it's going to go up, they short something else. So they don't just stick with this classic equities mix. So at the end of the day, people need to understand that if you made your money, you should be able to control a little bit better. And so with customers that come to me, we help them move their money out of the market, some or all. I mean, there's three legs to the stool that we talk about, and Steve and you and Doug and I think we've all talked about this before. There's three things to every plan to make you successful. You need return of an investment, which would be wealth preservation, which would be gold, silver, real estate, things like that. You need return on investment, which is your growth engine, to make sure that you don't stay static or lose money to inflation. And that's return on investment. And then you have liquidity, meaning that you need to be able to access your money when you need it. So you either can liquidate positions and things, or you can access the gold and silver to go and barter with, for instance. That's one of the cases. Or you can use your land to grow vegetables that you could eat, or all kinds of things. It could be hydroponics, it could be food stores, all those things. But those are things that you need to survive. And at the end of the day, you can't eat gold and silver. You can't eat paper dollars. You can't eat stock certificates, ETFs, all those things. You're going to get down to the point in the near future, I think 2016, 2017 is going to be where it's going to happen, is that you're going to get down to the basic needs of shelter, food, and water, and the comfort therein. So that if it's too hot, too cold, wherever, you want to be able to keep yourself warm, keep yourself cool, feed yourself every day, feed your family. I would hope you would provision for your neighbors in some kind of tithing function, that you take care of folks that are not as well off as you, mind that they may come and try to take it, so you have to be prepared for that as well. But the folks that come to me, we have to go through the whole education of here's what you've been taught all along, here's your normalcy bias, here's your period of cognizant dissonance, which may be as early as 1 day to 3 days to a week, then we get back into it, and you recognize that you want to take control, and then we talk through what do you want to do. And then we move their money out of the stock market into their own account where they can manage it with a checkbook or a debit card, and they can buy the metals and hold it at home in the safe. They can buy land, farmland, which the billionaires are buying up, but the Chinese are buying up in bulk. You have rental properties, or you have seller finance notes, or you have private loans, private equity, flipping houses, a litany of different things. Foreclosures.
Here's the point, Ross. Ross, let me interrupt you for a minute. Explain, too, that a lot of the smartest guys, I post a lot of Eric King's news because Eric is in contact with, I would say this, and I told him, I said, Eric, I don't know a billionaire you don't know. But what a lot of them are saying, too, is this, is that people need to take personal responsibility and just the return your investment is now even taking precedent over return on investment. So let's take farmland. You know, let's take farmland, okay? I mean, people can buy farmland, can they not? They can buy land, and obviously land is based on location, 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 but they can buy that out of their 401k, where that used to not be allowable in a 401k to have it in your own control. It had to be with a guardian. That is correct, is it not?
That's correct. You are the custodian and the trustee of your plan, and you choose where you want to invest it. So
right.
Then, but and so we recommend people talk to us before they just go running off willy nilly. Let's build a plan, and you're dead on. The return of investment is the most important thing that you do today. Just your wealth preservation is the most important thing. There may be a year of wealth preservation over growth, and that's just
now. Let me ask you this. And I want to put this because I know I maybe jumped the gun because in the third hour you're going to take questions and stuff. But the idea that do you believe, here's a question that I'm asking you, do you believe there's a disconnect with all the prophetic events happening and the announcement of basically a one world religion? The Pope has pretty much made it as plain as anything, even is spelling out what the Book of Revelation had prophesied 2,000 years ago. Do you believe that if you can't, you know, I made the statement years ago, if you can't touch it, you don't own it. But what do you think will be the leverage? Because at some point, it's going to be a national idea. I think you believe 2017 is the start of the tribulation. People will argue over that, but if people don't put it into stuff they can barter with, stuff they can even leave the country with, and, you know, people say you can't eat gold. I want to correct you a little bit. I have made a habit of seeing what meals cost in different places in South America, Europe, the Baltic. I probably it's time to do it again. And what people don't understand, for instance, Buenos Aires, you know, and some of the areas in Chile, and Scotty, one of my friends who lives down in Chile, said, man, Steve, you can get a meal here, you know, and some of the, and in essence, an ounce of gold will pretty much buy you a minimum around the world of somewhere in the neighborhood of 120 meals. Okay, I'm calling it 1,200, 1,100, let's say 110 meals. And then what's critical for people to understand is this, is, and I want your answer on this because I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but the time is coming based on the one world government, based on the one world religion, based on the global ID, where we're not going to be able to buy, rent, sell, or trade. Now, that's open to discussion when the day actually comes. But, Ross, I think a lot of our standard investment advice, especially in the Christian world, is absolutely ludicrous, and this is my opinion, okay, is ludicrous considering the times we live in. You want to address that? In other words, if you have any type of paper asset versus in your hot little hand or whatever, and the national ID or, you know, global ID comes in, and they basically say, we're taking everything unless you take the national, the, you know, the mark of the beast. Now, we can argue over when the mark of the beast goes into implementation. I think it's safe to say the technology for that to take place is already pretty much at the forefront of headlines. So I guess what I'm saying, I want people to understand something. You provide an alternative to standard paper-based assets. And if they are going to crash the world's economies, they being the New World Order, which they have said, as even people lost track of the statement by the president's, I forget the name of the guy, but one of the economic advisors for, what's his name, Obama, when, I call him so many other names, I can't even remember his real name. The deal is that when they took office, they said, we're going to kill the dollar. People don't get it. It was the dollar that settled debts in oil and international transactions that allowed the West to excel at everyone else's expense. And payback is going to be very difficult. So I guess it's kind of a statement and a question. The question is, do you believe, okay, given what you know, that putting stuff into paper outside of deeds and like pulling an Ezekiel and burying them, you know, in a glass pottery jar or something. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that outside of real property and tangible things that you will be able to buy and sell? Because we're told in the Bible that Christians will be locked out of the system, and we're already seeing that in the Middle East. Your comments.
Sure. I mean, I think from everybody needs to get have either a skill or a tangible object that they can barter with. I agree with that completely. As to the, when the tribulation starts, I don't know. I just put in my notes that it just seems like when President Obama, if he becomes Eternal Secretary of the UN, which he's petitioning for, or there's rumors thereof, and Netanyahu apparently is trying to stop it, and you have a pope that says the things that he says, I'm just looking at things saying, well, that just seems to mesh all too easily. But to answer your question is, you need to have what I would say three months worth of things, either in food for yourself, but also for your bills and things like that. You need to have that either in gold or cash or other kind of things that you can barter with to take care of all that. But to your point, you can use gold and silver to buy meals or to barter. I tell some of my customers to store up things that would be considered vices, like, and it may offend somebody, but alcohol and cigarettes and other things like that. That's, people don't stop drinking, they don't stop smoking once, even if the economy collapses. So those are things that are borrowable. It can be tools, it can be skill sets. If you're a welder, you're a plumber, electrician, mechanics, all those people are still going to need it. You can barter that for food or energy or wood, you know, cordwood or anything like that. So yeah, Steve, that you're going to be strained, or your situation, I mean, your family is going to be under a lot of stress to meet your day-to-day lifestyle. I mean, the people's idea of what their lifestyle is today is going to be completely different. The fact that they're going to get to the point where I'm just glad I got a roof over my head, I can eat, I like to read by, or I like to do something, I might be able to have hot water, take a bath in, or a shower, and I can drink water. So, and you have neighbors and family that can do the same. So folks are going to band together in neighborhoods or create what's called a MAG. It's a mutual assistance group, where it may be people that are doctors and dentists and vets and carpenters and plumbers all work together to build a community that they know they can self-sustain on some property that they buy together, for instance. I work with customers that are all part of that. So at the end of the day, it's going to be you and your preparations, you and your prayer life and your relationship with the Almighty. But you also have to make preparations to participate in the economy, because you can't get around that. So once they take the step one further, is you're talking about you can't buy or sell. Can you even work? If you don't take the mark, can you even earn a salary? Can you even participate in the labor force? Or you have to be a 1099 employee, or you have to be where a lot of people that they say they're in the shadows or the shadow economy, many of them are undocumented workers. They live like that day to day right now. They can't go and participate in credit cards, or they can't participate in certain things because they're not actual citizens. So they have to work on a cash basis or a bartering situation. And Christians in general may be the same way. And I would even venture to say that even the very faithful people of the Jewish faith might have to face the same thing as well. So at the end of the day, we all have to be prepared to either, one, take care of our families, but two, help our neighbor and our relatives who may not be there. Does that answer your question? Does that get to the gist of what you're asking?
Well, kind of, but here's the thing. You know, and please, again, this is to give the issue a full view. It used to be that you couldn't have precious metals. It used to be, and by the way, do you have people too, and I don't recommend this unless people are very sophisticated, but do you have people putting in like high-dollar diamonds? My definition of a high-dollar diamond for all the jewelers and savvy people out there is color, internally flawless, 2 to 3 carats, which based on where you can find them, you know, run. I mean, you know, it seems like when the wealthy get wind of what's going down, they run to those things. Now, I'm not saying most people listening to this show go out and buy Picassos, but the one thing that's interesting to me is for something to be in the prepper's view, you know, and people argue with this. Well, people say, well, I'm just going to trust God, and he'll provide for me. Well, I say, if you live in that world now, I believe you, and that's not a question. But the question is if they do nothing and expect God to do everything, while watching, you know, the latest nonsensical church service with 50,000 people basically preaching La La Land and click your red slippers together and you get to go out of here before things get tough. You know, here's the deal. I don't believe, and this is me now talking, so ladies and gentlemen, this is me, not Ross. I don't believe Christians take the time seriously. Some of them do, but the majority, even of preppers, okay? So I'm just saying this. I think that things have to, you know, have to scale up. And I think, you know, we've heard of baptism in water, baptism in fire. Here's another one, baptism in reality. Because reality avoidance is something I encounter every day in, you know, whatever percentage of my emails. I get 400, sometimes 500, sometimes 200. But the point is that the people are, I liken them to a lot of them, they just don't believe this stuff is going to happen because they say, they always fall back to position. I've been hearing that for 20 years. My grandpa thought that, my dad thought that, and I'm not going to think that. And I said, well, your grandfather and your father were intelligent. Don't abandon genetic intelligence because you don't believe something. So what I'm saying is that, I'll make this statement, we'll go on. I don't believe that Christian, now I want to define something. My definition of a Christian is someone who's bought with the blood of Jesus, who follows Jesus, who absolutely is known of Jesus. I had this talk earlier with Pastor Langford. Doug, I think you and I had this talk too. Why would Jesus say, many will come to me in those days saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we do all these things? And he says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. The point is, you can say you know Jesus, but where is the fruit in your life that Jesus knows you? Okay? It's just like the faithfulness. I had a guy just send me an email. He doesn't believe the 10 talents are literal. I guess he probably doesn't believe any of the parables are literal. The people who try and spiritualize everything also try and excuse away their lack of action. I can tell you this. I've got enough time on radio and enough emails, and I had to have my guy come over, Ross, and download 276,000 emails for 2 years. Okay?
Wow.
276,000. So, the point that I think is critical is it's simply this. Ownership is 9/10 of the law. And there will come a time, and I'll turn right back to you, there'll come a time where Christians already are being persecuted. They will pass laws like the Nazis did in Germany and the other nations of Western and Eastern Europe, where anything the Christians have, in this case it was the Jews and the Christians, and everything becomes fair game. Everything. So I think the thing is that people have got to understand that the return of their investment is probably more critical than the return on investment, because quite candidly, unless you buy a product at one price and you can sell it for a higher price, just the fact that you still have it in your hands beats a guy that said, oh no, there's been a cyber attack in my entire 401k that was $692,000. I actually know a guy who basically lost $485,000 and assumes he'll have the rest of his life to make it back. By the way, he's 55 and he's a Christian. Well, you know, if he can, God bless him. But if he can't, he's got the peace of mind that he can touch it and he owns it. And that's all I want to say on that, because again, you know, what I talk to a lot of people, as you do, but the major disconnect is Christians don't believe that day is going to come. Doug, do you encounter that too?
Absolutely, Steve. All the time. All the time. And that's the, you know, that's what we're fighting. And you know what, Steve, in addition to that, and if you don't mind me speaking on this, or you can speak on this.
No, you speak on it. It's your show.
Well,
it's your show.
Yeah, but you've encountered so much of this over the years. When we talk, when we have shows like this, it's always categorized as fear porn, doom porn, or for example, we're talking like this to sell something, whether it be precious metals or food, and I don't know how you survived a quarter of a century of talk radio. To me, this is talk like that is the most inane and irresponsible conversation. I'm not really taking to task those who say it, but those who know better and say it, I've got a problem with. Because what we're seeing right now is really crunch time. When you have a Baltic Dry Index at 369, these numbers, I mean, these numbers mean things, and this is horrible.
And if I could jump in here, you have two types of people, though. You have those who have gone out and created survival foods or survival services and books for the purposes of solely making money. And then at the same time, you have those who are doing what they do to try to help people while running a business. And people have been, jaded in the past by, whether it's been mega pastors promising them, money for, prayers for money or whatever, the prosperity gospel.
Right.
So there is a, people are timid about selling things or buying things from somebody who's giving a bleak message. But I think if people were to step back, pull the emotions out of it, and look at it from a practical perspective, that would help them understand also where people are coming from.
Right, and I think all your points are great, but I think one thing we need to bring into this is that if it was only us, four of us crying from the wilderness, so to speak, then that would be one thing. And we're trying to sell metals or 401k plans or get ratings on a radio show, that would be valid, and I think they would have the right to pull their arrows out. But when the Royal Bank of Scotland sends a newsletter to all its investors and say you need to sell everything, buy bonds, buy gold, buy tangibles, that's another that tells you then the UBS says start buy gold, sell everything else and buy gold. When these major banking institution and investment houses say sell what you got and move into something different, you probably should listen because they know something. And I'm not a big fan of George Soros, but George Soros has publicly stated several times in the last 2 weeks, this is worse than 2008. You have people in the Fed saying, now we're talking about negative interest rates, and that'll kind of segue us into the next section a little bit. But negative interest rates are already in Germany and France or across the EU a lot, which that means, and so you as the unsecured debtor to the bank or creditor to the bank, excuse me, you put in $1,000 and they say, well, your rate is -1%. Well, that means you just lost $10. Because if you put in $1,000, 10% is $100, but 1% is $10, your negative interest, your rate for your savings, so at the end of that 1 year, you won't have that $1,000 or $1,100, which you're used to, you'll have $990. So if you do that on an institutional level, so that means what they're trying to do is so you don't keep money in a bank, you don't keep it in cash or it's liquid where it's sort of still a liability because you're going to want your money, you may want cash. And that leads us to the whole discussion of the war on cash. And I think the whole negative interest rate is going to drive where people say, well, I'm not going to leave my money in the bank, and I'm now getting maybe 10 basis points or maybe 20 or maybe even 60 if I'm on a jumbo CD. For 5 years, I might even get 0.75, or maybe 75 basis points. But if they start saying, well, if you commit your money to a one-year CD, we'll only charge you a -1% interest rate. But if you commit to 5, we'll give you 10 positive basis points. So they want to make sure people don't keep their money at the bank where they can actually transact it. They don't want you to write checks. They'd rather you use debit cards or everything digitalized so that they can say suddenly, oh, wait, you now have $10,000. We're just going to have to move that decimal point to the left one. You now have $1,000 overnight. So that's why the war on cash is there, because if you have $10,000 of cash stuffed in your mattress or in your safe next to your three monster boxes of silver coins and in a sleeve of gold 1 ounce American Eagles, and you have $10,000 in cash, that's a direct liability on the bank. If you bring in a dollar, you have these cash, they have to honor it. That's a liability. If you don't have that cash, then everything is, they control everything, you control nothing. The same with the silver and the gold. If you can turn that into whatever the new world order exchange device may be, whatever the currency is, whether it's a world dollar, it's a SDR, or whether it's some iteration in between, you have that will be directly convertible to that, unless they outlaw it, which they did in the 30s, but you'd be amazed at the level of compliance that was in the 30s. I still have dimes, gold, dime-sized, 1/10-ounce type of gold coins I got from my grandmother, that little brown purse that we passed down generation to generation, had these gold coins in it. We should have turned them in, but now it doesn't matter because it's all is forgiven. But at the end of the day, you having cash and liquid assets, and but as I mentioned in that three-pronged stool is liquidity, you having that ability to buy and sell outside of the digitized world is going to could be the yay or nay of your death, or the yay or nay of your sickness or illness or starvation or the harm to your children and your spouses. So that's and so you're going to see that as the war on cash heats up, and they're going to try to push inflation. I mean, you may be, a lot of people are saying that deflation is on the horizon. Great articles on Zero Hedge on that as well. But at the end of the day, food prices are not going to are only going to go up. So you need to have food, and whether it's cans from Costco or Sam's or your local grocery store, or it's storable foods, or it's growing your own garden, which I would recommend everybody do that. Or it's even easier if you do hydroponics to grow your leafy vegetables, which will sustain you, whether it's collard greens or spinach or lettuce or any of those kind of things will sustain you. Having that ability, either the willingness or the ability to do it, is going to make you different from somebody else that's just still in that cognitive, that's still in that normalcy bias that everything's fine, I'm just going to go get my check, and I'm just going to go to the store when they find out that that store doesn't have it anymore, or your check didn't arrive. So I'm just, I can't, and I'd say this to my cousin, I can't stress hard enough that people need to get back to the basics of their lifestyles, forego the new DVD player or the latest streaming device or latest phone, live with what you got, and focus on things that you can use in your life going forward, being food, water, tools, skills. And the biggest thing that everybody needs, besides their faith and their willing to, and exercising their faith through prayer life and service to others, is just like a muscle. Your faith is like a muscle, just like anything else in your body. Your faith needs to be exercised, but you need to be able to be mentally strong to work through what's coming. You can be as, and Steve, well, I'm going to get back to the panic word for a second. You can be the most, what was that doomsday prepper show that was on TV that just made people look like silly, the fools and silliness, and made preppers look like a lot the laughing stock many times, and they always shot holes in their preparations and things.
Yeah, but they never went to the Goldman, they never went to the Goldman Sachs bunker or any of the billionaire bunkers, did they? All they did was vilify a mindset by showing people who had very little trying to do the best they can, okay? I actually know, I think, two of those people that were featured in that show. But the point is that every day on the London Daily Mail or the Telegraph or some of the world things, they're talking about the billionaires heading to their bunkers. Look, I live in Bozeman, Montana, and up the road from me, 30 miles up Big Sky, I mean, you got the wealthiest people in the world living up there, and they've got, you know, bunkers in their basements, and, you know, Bozeman's kind of a bailout point. But I think how does the statement go? Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Let me read this, and I'll turn it right back over to you. This is by Randy Conway. And Randy has been, and I know Randy, we had the most amazing run-in in a restaurant that he'd never gone to, and I was over Tom Horn, but here's the deal. God bless you, Randy. It says this, I weep for the unprepared. I weep for those who are caught unaware when men will die and it's too late for prayer. How sad that many will not believe and the cost of denial they will receive. When judgment falls, people will be frantic. The children will cry and the mothers will be in a panic. The fathers will watch their loved ones suffer because they were too proud to establish a buffer. The buffer is not that you can escape from the storm, but to do what you can to keep your family fed and keep them warm. A prudent man foresees evil and takes action to save himself. How sad to be a father who refused to even put some food on the shelf. The tears will flow long with rivers of blood, both mingling in the streets, a cruel and bitter flood. Money will be changed, and who knows what it will be worth. Now is the time to hear, not when trouble has been birthed. I weep for the women, and I weep for the children. I pray for protection from Satan's employed villains. But alas, I can but pray. I can act for you. You must decide that the word of God is true. Your decision will affect today, tomorrow, and forever. The Heavenly Father weeps, for he has invented invited whomsoever. Those who refuse to believe the truth as the watchmen cry are accursed then with a delusion that they should believe the lies. I weep for those who will be caught in the terrible panic. How can you describe what is coming except to say it'll be satanic? Grievous times that God has warned us about. Multitudes scoff the warnings, living in a world of spiritual drought. Salvation waits for those who will be saved. Those who reject Jesus are destined to be enslaved. The enemy of our souls has planned for you a future that is depraved. In the palm of the Father's hand, the believer's name has been engraved. Now, I one of these things really jumped out for me. I deal with people day in and day out that want to know if it's okay for them to protect their families. I deal with men who are asking that, and I go, oh, Lord, help me to choose my word carefully in my email. Because at the end of the day, the critic won't be there to protect your wife, men. At the end of the day, the critic won't be there to provide you food, men. At the end of the day, the doors on the knock or the crowd calling you out, who is going to be there to stand with you? You know, this is a pretty powerful word, you know, Doug. This is a really powerful word. You know, it's interesting. The buffer is not that you can escape from the storm, but to do what you can to keep your family fed and keep them warm. A prudent man foresees evil and takes action to save himself. How sad to be a father who refused to even put some food on a shelf. This is basic to breathing. This is basic to living. This is basic to existence. This is the pioneer spirit, yet people simply won't do it. So, you know, Ross, you're a nice guy, and I love that about you. I have to be pragmatic, because I understand that, and I'm not saying you're not, but I have to be pragmatic, because the idea that the Christian church, now this is a time for 3 minutes of a roll, the Christian church sits back while Christian women are bought, sold, raped, beheaded, stoned, hung. The Christian church, to a large degree, the majority of that which calls itself, they're not doing anything at all, except with the exception of intercessors. They don't care about anything because it's over there. But it's our children that are on the chopping block. No alliteration on that. It's our wives. I, you know, the thing that I'm trying to get people to say is, it's Bravo Sierra, it's bovine laundry. That one, you're probably going to have to think what I mean by that. The idea is this, okay? This is a serious bunch of events happening, and this cannot be handled with, you know, cowhide gloves, and this isn't pretty. It's going to get real dangerous. Almost got me there, Doug, you know, with rhyming with pretty. The idea is people have got, he got it, people have got to understand. We're seeing it in other lands. Germany, you're talking about the home of BMW, Mercedes, Zeiss Optics, Leica Optics, and some of the best machines ever built, some of the highest technology, and they've lost their country because they've been invaded, and now the German lawmakers want to tax the last that the German people have to feed the raping, pillaging horde. I don't know if you guys saw this, but they busted a Middle Easterner because he was performing a sexual act on a mannequin, okay? You can go in the London Daily Mail and see the story of where the lovely, peace-loving invasionists, they're not immigrants, they're invasionists, or the army of the invasion, are saying your women are only there to be raped. You've got to understand that is a philosophy that allows men to rape their wives, to kill their wives, and to have sex with children, the child brides.
In sex ways, where they sell them into rape houses,
yep.
Right.
Yeah, and so can I say something? You know, I'm telling you this. I have said, Lord, if you want me to tone it down, then tone it down. But God, the gloves have to come off, because I'm dealing right now. We're on the air, Doug, and people don't understand. I can read emails and still talk and, you know, be somewhat coherent. They're dealing with this as if it will never come to them. And what Ross Powell has just been telling you is that the Baltic Dry Index means there's nothing going to be on your shelves, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care if it's whatever you think, it's not going to be there. So acquire it now. Because look, we've talked and I've pled, I've begged, and when I wept on the air, look at him, he's just a crybaby. Take that to Jeremiah. I'm no Jeremiah, but I'll tell you this. I've said, when the tears begin to flow, they won't stop. And as Randy Conway just said, and the rivers of blood, both mingling in the streets, will be a cool and bitter flood. You know, we see blood flowing. We see, and look, here's what's amazing to me. Even the homosexuals aren't throwing up an outcry about gay people being thrown off buildings, for the record. That's horrific. It's disgusting. Look, here's the deal. We have embraced a culture of death. We worship death. It's in our movies. It's in our rock and roll. It's in the video games. You don't think video games aren't a culture of death? And yet, when Jesus comes and said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, you know what we say? Move over, Jesus. I'm too busy with my video game. Now, I mean no disrespect to the Son of God with that statement. But everything, and where's the Christian's outrage when the head of a billion believing members, billion whatever, Doug, you probably know, Catholic Church, basically says everybody goes to heaven. Yeah, Jesus said, no man comes unto the Father. Except, I mean, you see, here's what I'm saying, and then I'm going to turn it over, and maybe I better just turn it over. People don't get it. I'll give you a good example. People, you know, a quote about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, okay? So, Sheila Zelinsky writes the Green Gospel. If you don't understand that the pale horse, behold a pale horse, that, what was the name of the guy that wrote that book? I can't think of his name right now. The no pale Cooper. Horse, yeah. Cooper. The bottom line is that we're now seeing Agenda 21 unfolding in Oregon. We saw it wanting to take hold in Nevada. Here's the deal. There, it's not enough to get your stuff. They want the strife to take your life, okay? I'm not trying to be Randy Conway. He is one of a kind. But when Sheila wrote the Green Gospel, you know, the New World Religion, she nailed it, okay? And I'm going to read something because this, I can't say any better than this. There exists a group of clandestine self-proclaimed ruling oligarchs who are in fact soulless pagans, she was nice there, with designs on reshaping the world into a state of complete global governance where everyone embraces the goddess Gaia as God. Christians are at war with this group and don't even know it. Their end game is to destroy constitutional liberties, the free market economy through deindustrialization, and ultimately population reduction. Even more frightening is their astonishing plan to reinstate a form of paganism dating back to Nimrod. These people want to control every aspect of your life and to exert dominance over every single daily activity. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a mouthful, but and I'm just going to use the last minute before we turn it over and Ross can take questions. Doug, I have purposed in my heart, and Ross, if you haven't said this, I'm going to, any time I go on talk radio, I'm going to speak as if it's my last time to speak. The deal is that the pale horse of the apocalypse, I mean, it's like dancing green horses from hell, you know, running through the streets, galloping through the streets, and everybody goes, yeah, my pastor's talking about the figurative or the symbolism of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I said, go and look at Agenda 21. Dave Hodges writes about it. Sheila nails it. And yet so many people will not identify. This is the fourth horse of the apocalypse, okay? And so, you know, somebody said, now chill. I hear you, now chill. I'd say you, pal, Sage Raider, you better warm up because, you better grow up and warm up. The idea is this, Doug. There is no passion in the church for righteousness. There is no passion in the name for Jesus. The radio wars, the whatever, all the wars going on in Christendom, I'm not kidding you. Watch who talks about Jesus versus quoting scripture, and they don't even understand the spirit behind the living God. So the
what's
thing is
the other break, Steve?
When we come back, we finish your thought on the other side. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on this Monday, January 18th, 2016, with Ross Powell, Survival 401k, and Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.